to me. I don't know why he cared. I don't know why.
Ladies and gentlemen, God bless you all. If you're on blessing ground, if you're on praying ground, if you are in a position to be blessed, may God bless you. Meaning, if you're not in sin, if you're not out of the will of God, living a lie, masquerading as a Christian, playing games when you should be praying all day long. May God bless you. We thank God for each and every one of you from all of the many countries from around the world. How many countries you think come every night? About 30 different countries is about the average. Goes up, goes down every night. We thank God for each and every one of you. On Periscope times two, I believe. Facebook Live times two. And we thank God for the Periscope people and the geniuses behind that. We thank God for the Facebook people, even though they're being beaten up pretty badly right now. We thank God for the Twitter people and the Pinterest people and all of the people that allow us to spread the gospel message across the country and around the globe each and every day to thousands of folks are exposed to the gospel. And we give God the glory, praise, and honor in allowing us to live in such a time as this. I cannot imagine a better time to be alive other than to be alive when Jesus was here. And so, ladies and gentlemen, tonight, I am amazed, and I just thanked God earlier, right at this pulpit, for allowing me to feel so great, seeing that I have been up since around 3:15 this morning, and I feel no ways tired. By the grace of God. And so, my beloved, I want to preach in your hearing, the blind walk by faith, and Jesus gives them sight. God has a way of rewarding you if you have faith in Him, and believe in Him, and trust in Him. This is part two. The Just Jesus Evangelistic Campaign, Day 672, since January the 20th, 2017. Day 1037, since January the 1st, 2016. My beloved, let's stand out of respect for the Word of God. If you can stand for a sinful judge who represents the Constitution at a courthouse, you can stand for the Word of God. In the book of Nehemiah, they stood, I believe, almost all day long at the reading and hearing and the making plain of the Word of God. Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 9, verse 27 through 31. I know some of you folks have iPhones and Kindles and iPads, and you don't even own a physical Bible. May God help you. May God help you if your device is dead or you don't have internet access somewhere. You better have a physical Bible with you, a printed Bible. You better have a printed Bible with you. Keep a printed Bible with you at all times, for the lights may go out. Matthew chapter 9, verse 27. And when Jesus departed, Jesus, as I told you, if you read the gospel straight through, you will see that before Winston Churchill was, Jesus Christ was a young man in a hurry. He was always on the move. And I also want you to see that people who are truly engaged in ministry, they will never be without work. They will never be without work. If you're doing true ministry, this is why pastors have to take a break. They have to take off for a while. They have to rest a while lest they come apart. And people who are engaged in real ministry, it never ends. From the time they wake up until the time they go to bed and then some. And may God help you if you don't have good help. For Jesus said, the fields are white unto harvest, but the laborers are few. And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou Son of David, have mercy on us. That's about the size of it, isn't it? That's what we need, is mercy. I don't care how rich you are. I don't care how educated you are. I don't care how pretty you are. I was getting ready this morning and I looked at the mirror. My wife was helping me get ready and I said, I am so pretty. Isn't that right? She said, no. You're handsome, but you're not pretty. Okay, I was just trying to be like Muhammad Ali. I don't care how handsome you are. I don't care whether or not you're a billionaire or a pauper. You need mercy from God. And these blind men had good sense. They said, Thou Son of David, have mercy on us. And you better pray that too. I don't care who you think you are. I don't care if you are the president of a university. I don't care if you are a student. I don't care if you're on Wall Street or Bill Street. You better cry out to God and to Jesus for mercy. Some of you are too proud, too stubborn, too rebellious, too mean, too hateful, not only to cry out for mercy, but to give mercy. And when he was come into the house, the blind men, they did not hesitate. They did not miss a step. They just kept on walking, following Jesus. I guess they had in their mind where they know we're blind, so let's just keep on rolling and rolling. The blind men came to him, and Jesus said unto them, Believe ye that I am able to do this? They said unto him, Yea, Lord. Yes, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, saying, according to your faith, be it unto you. And their eyes were opened, and Jesus straightly charged them, saying, See that no man know it. But they, when they were departed, spread abroad his fame in all that country. You know they had to be black. They were already singing. I tried to hold it in, but I couldn't keep it to myself. I don't see how Christians can keep Jesus to themselves. I really don't know. But many of us do a wonderful job of being secret service Christians. I had to tell somebody. Jeremiah said it was like a fire shut up in my bones. I had to speak. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we say with your servant Peter on the Mount of Transfiguration, it is good for us to be here. Lord, I'm so excited. For some reason, I can't even stand it. I should be dead. There are some people out there, Lord, as you know, who want me dead. They're trying to kill me. And if not dead, I should be asleep. But Lord, I'm so ecstatic that I'm afraid I might stay up all night. So slow me down. I give you the glory, the praise, and the honor. Lord, it is amazing what you do, putting that fire in the hearts of your preachers. And Lord, I give you the glory, praise, and honor. We can hardly handle it. We can hardly handle it, rather. And Lord, we pray that you'll give us the grace that we would be a shining light. And by your grace, help us not to burn up and burn out. Lord, we individually confess our sins, our failures, and our faults unto you. We don't want to have anything in our lives that would hinder the moving and the power of your Holy Spirit, or that would quench or grieve your Holy Spirit. And so have your Holy Spirit's power to move mightily upon your word and upon your people, not only here but around the world. Open blinded eyes, unstopped deaf ears. I feel somebody else praying for me, Lord, and I thank you. Touch the hearts of the many people who are listening right now in all parts of the world to pray for this poor preacher, to pray that the power and the might would fall all across the country and around the globe. Open blinded eyes, unstopped deaf ears. Save lost souls. And Lord, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that there's a devil loose. And Lord, we know that there are people even in this building filled with devils. And the spirit of Judas and betrayal and sabotage, they act like they are helping the work, but deep down they can't stand the work of the ministry. They can't stand the gospel. And they try to sabotage it. We have several groups fighting against us on the outside. And Lord, I pray that you thwart their plans. Stop them from hindering the gospel from being preached. So many are trying to distract me. And I pray that you would pave the way for me, as you've done, lo, these past 40 years. And we pray for over 3 million souls to hear the gospel. Lord, from this pulpit, around the world, by any means necessary, open their blinded eyes, unstop their deaf ears, save their souls, reclaim the backslidden, revive the saints, and help us all to get back to you, our first love, just Jesus. Help us get back, Lord. Take us back, as the song says. Take us back, take us back. To where we first believed. We were different people then. And Lord, help us not to be like your children, the children of Israel, and turn our backs on you and break your heart. Reclaim the backslidden. Save the lost. Glorify your holy name. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Lift up your holy son, Jesus Christ, in every possible way. Amen. You may be seated. In the house of the Lord. You all know the devil is going to attack us. He's already attacking us. So everybody be on your P's and Q's. Be sober-minded, vigilant, and watchful. Don't get locked in on something. Don't daydream or nightdream. Don't go to sleep. Can you watch with me 1 hour or less? And pay attention to the details. Be prayerful, sober-minded, vigilant, and watchful. Pray for me as I preach, not only those who are here, but those of you who are out there all over the world, all over America. We want to thank God for, she comes almost every night, bless her heart. A young lady, Keisha Jones, I believe. This is why I've prayed as hard as I prayed. This is why I warned you all to pray. And because the devil is fighting hard. But we We thank God for this young lady. She asked the other day, how can I join this church? And evidently she does not know we're in Dallas, the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And we thank God for you. She was here last night, and she's here tonight, I believe. And many others who are like that. We thank God for you. Ladies and gentlemen, by way of introduction, if you will, Dr. John Walvoord and Dr. Roy Zuck of Dallas Theological Seminary, gifted men of God, said regarding this passage, as Jesus traveled on, he was followed by two blind men who appealed to him on the basis of the fact that he is the son of David. This title clearly related Jesus to the messianic line, bloodline. The persistence of the blind men was seen as they followed Jesus into a house where he miraculously restored their sight. And I can see them, as the old preachers used to say, in my mind's eye, stumbling into the door. Probably one of them, you know how the blind folks walk, they have a stick. And, you know, they might touch that side of that door when they're going. They might try to walk in together, stumbling. And they needed their sight healed. And by the way, sight is a tremendous gift of God, physically, but also spiritually. And we have some people today who are spiritually blind. Do you know how frustrating it is to be around people who are spiritually blind? They can't even see how the devil is working against them. You try to tell them and they get mad. They always think that somebody's out to get them, trying to steal their happiness. No, honey. I'm trying to tell you, the man is a wolf. You can't see it. The twice divorced man that you're talking to and you're slipping out with and then slipping him into your house is a wolf. He's a dog and a wolf combined in sheep's clothing. And he's going to take you for everything you've got. And then you want to go come, you're going to come crying to me, trying to hoping that I put it back together for you. You're blind and you can't see afar off. Anyway, Dr. Walvoord continued, their faith was genuine, for they truly believed he was able to heal them and give them their sight. They affirmed his deity. They affirmed his deity, for they acknowledged him as Lord. Their sight was restored in keeping with their faith. In spite of Jesus' warning to tell no one about this event, his fame continued to spread throughout the region. They couldn't keep it to themselves. His warning was probably given to keep multitudes from thronging to him merely for the purpose of physical healing, like so many are doing today. Always got their hand out. When God wants you to have your hands up, and not only come to him when you are sick, but to come to him because you love him. He wants your arms out so that you can hug him and he can hug you. Just like fathers don't like to be sugar daddies, only time your children want to come is when they want something. Fathers want their children to come just to talk, to seek advice, to remember old times. Not only when they need something. God is the same way. While Jesus did heal many from physical diseases, his miracles were for the purpose of authenticating his claims that he is the Son of God, yea, the Son of David, Jesus the Christ, the Messiah. Jesus came primarily for spiritual healing, Dr. Walvoord said, not physical healing. Because the truth of the matter is, Jesus being God, he could have healed everybody. But he did not do so. He came to die on the cross for our sins, so that we all can be spiritually healed. Robert Jameson said, it is remarkable that in the only other recorded case in which the blind applied to Jesus for their sight and obtained it, they addressed him over and over again by this one messianic title, so well known, Son of David. What a powerful phrase, Son of David. Can there be a doubt that their faith fastened on such great messianic promises as this, found in Isaiah, then the eyes of the blind shall be opened? If so, this appeal to him as the consolation of Israel to do his predicted office would fall with great weight upon the ears of Jesus Christ. And so, ladies and gentlemen, in this account of blind men being healed by Jesus, and by the way, this is non-fiction. Jesus actually opened the eyes of these two blind men. Jesus, we have seen from their example, one of the greatest demonstrations of faith in the New Testament. These blind men walked not knowing what might happen within the next few inches ahead of them. They walked by faith. Faith is indeed shown forth by our actions, not just by our words. But it is also shown forth by our words. And the blind men show us this as well, very well, by the way. Verse 27 says that they followed Jesus, crying and saying, Thou Son of David, have mercy on us. What would prompt these men to refer to Jesus as Thou Son of David? Dr. Albert Mons says, by the Son of David, the Jews meant the Messiah, the Son of God. He was the descendant or son of David by way of eminence. This was therefore a profession of faith, a profession of belief on the part of these blind men in the Messiahship of Jesus. And at the same time, the expression of a belief that being the Messiah, he could heal them, being that he was Jesus, the God-man, Emmanuel, God with us. They believed in him so much that he would heal them. Do you, my dear friend, have that kind of faith tonight? Maybe you used to have it, but you have lost it along the way of life. You have allowed yourself to get dragged down into the rough and tumble of life, the daily to-do list of life, and the troubles that come in life. And somehow you have lost your way. And you've gone off of the faith road. And your heart and your mind is filled with doubt. You don't pray as you used to. You haven't had family devotions in the past 15 years. And you're afraid to start it again. You used to read the Bible when you first got saved. And you were walking high with Jesus. You not only did you read it in the morning, you read it all throughout the day. You had a highlighter, a yellow highlighter. You had a pen. You circled almost every word. Double circles on some. But now, you can't remember the last time you read the Word of God. And so, ladies and gentlemen, now these blind men had no real evidence to convince them that Jesus was the Messiah. They just had faith in the Son of David. They could not have examined the genealogical records of Mary and Joseph. They could not have gone back in time and interviewed Jesus's earthly ancestors or observed the generational change from parents to children over the generations. Yet based only on what they had heard of Jesus, yes, faith comes by hearing. They had faith that Jesus was the Messiah. And that faith caused them to cry out, "Thou Son of David." But I also want you to notice something else. The desperation, the respect, the faith. Not only in these two blind men, I would love to know their names, but Jairus, the gentle general, the leper, all of those that Jesus, as he was traveling along and healing miraculously, there's something about earnestly wanting something. There's something about an element of desperation that you got to have this that strengthens, if you will, your faith and your resolve. They didn't go around calling other people Son of David. They focused on Jesus, the Messiah. They were persistent. They were importunate. They were consistent. They were on point. They were determined. And some of us have lost that. And that is not pleasing in the eyes of God. That is not pleasing in the sight of the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants us to pray always. In fact, Jesus Christ gave a parable to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Don't quit. Some of you have given up on God. Shame on you. Some of you have given up on Jesus. Shame on you. You've given up on your children. They'll never be saved. They'll never act right. But now, before you do all of that, just remember how you were at their age. How proud and arrogant and foolish acting you were. And you didn't listen to anybody either. People wanted to tell you something, but they looked at you in the eyes and said, he's not going to listen. She's not going to listen. And the wise people like Dr. John McNeil Jr., they'll just let you go ahead on and they're not going to bother with you. They're going to let you go on and experience it the hard way. And so, ladies and gentlemen, it is one thing to inwardly consider that Jesus is the Son of David. It is another thing to publicly profess that Jesus is the Son of David. That is why a requirement of saving faith, according to Romans 10:9, is this. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth, amen, somebody. You got to have it in your heart, and you need to say it with your mouth. The blind men confessed with their mouths what they believed about Jesus in their hearts. They were not ashamed. They were not playing. They had a straight face. They were not kidding around. They were on point, and they were determined. They let Jesus know, and they let the crowd know that their faith was real. Amen, somebody. Is your faith real tonight? Is it real? You say, well, preacher, I'm going through this and I'm going through that. Preacher, you don't know what I've been through over the past 10 years. And preacher, I tell you, my husband left me. Preacher, my wife ran out on me. Preacher, the debts have been high for the past 15 years, and the money's been low. I'm struggling, preacher. I'm going through hell, preacher. Make sure you keep on going through hell now. Don't stop. But Jesus said a long time ago, in this world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Where's your faith tonight, and is it real? Is it real? Some of you, listen to me very carefully, this is so important. Some of you are so depressed, so defeated, so sad, and so caught up in your self-pity parties. Have you noticed that people don't go to your pity party? Because nobody wants to be around that. You know why? Because you don't have faith in God anymore. You don't have faith in Jesus. You got faith in a man or a woman, and they let you down all the time. In fact, you can't even find them half the time. Put your faith in God. Put your faith in Jesus. I challenge you tonight. I challenge you tonight, those of you who are contemplating opioids, drugs, and marijuana, and getting drunk. Those of you who are contemplating suicide, which is sad to say in vogue today among Christians. All I can say is what Jesus told you. Have faith in God. I challenge you tonight that no matter how you might feel, if you would just have faith in God and pray, start praying to Him. I didn't say go to another Bible study. You don't need to go to another Bible study. You don't need to go to a seminar. You don't need to go to a convention. You don't need to go to a conference. In fact, for many of you, that's the last thing on earth you need to do. You need to go to your closet and stay in there until you meet God. Pray for your husband. Pray for your wife. Pray for your children. You'll be amazed at what God will do, not only for them in time to come, but for you. God will change you. I guarantee you, if you are a child of God, the clouds of depression and being defeated and sad and down and out will go away. And then God will tell you several things to do. And he'll lead you to get a pen and make a good to-do list right after you pray. He'll tell you to do certain things. One of them might be you need to fast. The second thing might be you need to go back to church. You need to start tithing and giving again. That son you have not heard from over the past 8 years, God will tell you to call him, contact him. Whether they respond or not, that does not matter. You need to do what God tells you to do. So many parents play this silly game because their children are acting weird or wicked or foolish. And if they don't call me, I'm not going to call them. Now you call them. Stop worrying so much. You'll stop worrying immediately if you pray for your son or your daughter. And then you, if God leads you to call them, you call them and you'll know they are, you'll hear their voice again and you'll know that they're fine. Or that they're not fine. Or whatever the case. But at least you'll know something. Stop being so proud. They're mothers and fathers going to their graves, bitter and angry because their son or daughter won't call them, when God might want you to call them. You're the one worried. You're the one fretting. You're the one depressed. They are out there doing, watch this, what you were doing. They were out there, they're out there trying to get their groove on. Just like you were when they were young, when you were young. Did you call your mother? Did you call your father? When you were trying to get the hookup, you were trying to find somebody else besides mommy and daddy? Or trying to position yourself to be with somebody? Where's Whitney Houston? I want somebody to dance with me. Well, you just think back now. Did you how many times you call your mother and father? Not much. You were too busy. So pray for your children. And then if God leads you to call them, call. If they answer, they answer. If they don't, as long as you do your part. And God will bless that. Stop fretting. Stop worrying. Stop being depressed and defeated and disgusted. And so, ladies and gentlemen, these two blind men, they were ready to stake everything on what the Holy Scriptures prophesied about the Messiah. That is why the blind men followed up their proclamation with a bold request. Have mercy on us. That sounds so simple. But yet, it is so powerful. Son of David, have mercy on us. They cried out. They were not ashamed. They wanted their sight. They knew he was the Son of God. That he was the Messiah, the sent one. Son of David! Son of David! I can hear them. Son of David, Son of David, have mercy on us. The Greek term translated as have mercy means to have compassion. Think on us. Look at us. or to help one who is afflicted and seeking aid. Have you ever experienced God showing you mercy? Have you ever experienced God showing you mercy by having another sinful human being to show you mercy and favor? I hope that you have experienced that. It's a beautiful thing. Now, blind men in their life as beggars likely called on many people to have mercy on them. But those were nameless, faceless individuals, oftentimes who gave a penny or two out of a sense of guilt rather than real compassion, kind of like us. Most of us give to the Salvation Army, little killer people out there, out of guilt. And some are more sensitive than others, you know that. Some people are so sensitive they'll give half the money they're going to spend on groceries to the man out there at the little red kettle. Come to the cash register and find out they don't have enough money to pay for the food. They felt so guilty. Or they felt so much compassion. Now that they had identified the Son of David and cried out to him to have mercy on them, they were expecting not a pitiful human response, but a majestic Messiah response. And they got it. They were done with pennies and nickels and quarters at this point. And they wanted life and life more abundant. And they had faith enough to ask Jesus for it. I challenge you tonight to have faith in God, to pray in the all-powerful name of Jesus Christ, whatever you might be dealing with, and watch God move mountains and move clouds and cause it to rain real good on you. I challenge you to do it. And I challenge you to do it no matter how dry that prayer may feel. You can't go by your feelings. You must do like the two blind men and go by faith. Amen, somebody. These blind men once again show us what it means to walk in faith and by faith. And to speak in faith. True faith leads us to profess the person in whom we believe and make requests of the person in whom we believe. Did you get that? I hope you got that. True faith leads us to profess the person in whom we believe and make requests of the person in whom we believe. If you believe that he is the Son of God, pray in his name. Ask what you will, and according to his will, he'll do it. He'll answer it. Ask and ye shall receive. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. This sounds simple. I know you're very familiar with it, and that's the problem. Familiarity breeds contempt. You've heard it before. That is your problem. Like Dr. Bill Riddick said one time, the problem with so many Christians today, Danae, is they know too much, but they don't practice any of it. Theoretical faith is not faith at all. Faith is only faith if it is exercised. I like what John Newton wrote so many years ago. He said, "Come, my soul, thy suit prepare." Jesus loves to answer prayer, and I know this to be true. I hope you do. He himself has bid thee pray. Thus he will not say thee nay. Thou art coming to a king. Large petitions with thee bring, for his grace and power are such, none can ever ask too much. while I am a pilgrim here, let thy love my spirit cheer, as my guide, my God, my friend, lead me to my journey's end. Show me what I have to do. Every hour my strength renew. Let me live a life of faith, that I might trust thee by thy grace. Let's all stand for prayer. Holy Father God, thank you for this miraculous passage of Scripture designed to increase our faith. And Lord, so many of us are so removed from this kind of faith today, and I'm talking about Christians. Lord, I pray that you'll help us to pray, to seek your face, to turn from our wicked ways and to humble ourselves, and help us all to believe in you again, to believe in the Son of David, the Son of God, the Messiah, Emmanuel, God with us, Jesus Christ, who has all power and might in his hands. And Holy Father God, we individually confess our sins, our failures and our faults and our lack of faith, our not trusting in you, not believing in you, not believing in your power, not bringing large petitions as we should. For Jesus Christ's sake, forgive us of our sins, our failures and faults, and help us to believe your holy word again. Help us to believe in you again, Lord Jesus and Lord God. Wash and cleanse our souls and spirits and hearts and minds as believers in the precious blood of Christ. Fill us with the power of your Holy Spirit to have big faith in you and to get back on the firing line and to get back to you, Lord Jesus, our first love, where we belong. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. You may be seated. Now, dear friend of mine, if you are with us tonight and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and the free pardon of your sins, allow me to show you how you can place your faith and trust in him for salvation from sin and hell. And by the way, we had another decision today, earlier today. We thank the Lord for this dear lady. I believe she's in Nigeria. Is that correct? And we thank God for that. The other lady the other day was from Oregon. And we give God the glory, praise, and honor. People responding to the preaching of the Word of God. First, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's law. And so, for the Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, just like they made a decision for God, for Christ the other night. You can do the same. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all have done wrong, every last one of us. We've done evil in God's sight. Second, accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. There is a punishment for sin today. The Bible states in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. We die physically because of our sins. Everybody is rushing to the grave. The body is going to go to the grave. Your soul is going to go back to God. And if you trusted Christ as Savior, you'll go to heaven. If you trusted Christ as Savior in this life, you'll go to heaven. If you reject Christ, you're going to hell. Third, accept the fact that you are on the road to hell right now. Matter of fact, Jesus Christ preached more on hell than he did about heaven. Jesus Christ preached more on hell than anybody in the Bible and most preachers today. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. But rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Hell is a sad place. Hell is a place of outer darkness. Hell is a sad place. Hell is a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth. Hell is a sad place. Hell is a place of an agonizing memory. And the saddest part of hell to me is that once you go past the gates of hell, you will never return. There's no limbo, there's no purgatory, there's no coming back from hell, and hell is forever. Make your decision, and whatever decision you make in this life is going to count for forever. So make the right decision and trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. And just like heaven is forever, hell is forever. Hell is bad news, but I have some good news for you. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, for God so loved the world, that includes you, makes no difference who you are or what you have done or who you did it with. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, his name is Jesus Christ, that whosoever, that word whosoever means anybody at any time, nobody will be denied if you trust Christ as Savior. You say, I'm on death row. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll get saved on death row. You say, I murdered somebody and Jesus died for you as well. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I've done some bad things. Confess your sins and trust Christ as Savior. For God so loved the world, that includes you, my dear friend. I'm drunk right now. You can still believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what you're doing. I'm high as a kite. That's all right. Just when you come down, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He died for your sins, was buried, and rose again. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Well, preacher, I'm a homosexual. God will save you too. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shalt be saved. The only thing about it, when Jesus saves, he changes. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, that is, perish in hell, but have everlasting life. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shalt be saved. Just believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't have to be in church. You don't have to go to church to be saved. You don't have to give any money to the preacher or to the church. You don't have to help old ladies across the street to be saved. That's not going to save you. Getting baptized won't save you. Speaking in some unknown tongue won't save you. And it's not the evidence of being saved. No. You don't have to jump and shout and run around the church as you've seen on TV. No, you don't need anybody to lay hands on you, slap you down to the ground. All you need to do is believe on Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shalt be saved. Saved from hell and saved to heaven. If you are trusting Christ in your heart right now, pray with me right now the sinner's prayer. I'll be glad to lead you. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. For the Bible says in Romans 10:9-13, that if you shall confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Follow me in prayer right now. If you want to be saved from hell, tonight may be your last night. Tonight may be my last night. We all may be gone tomorrow. We might be gone by 12 o'clock tonight. People are dying left and right, as you well know, and you could be next, I could be. So today is the day of salvation, my dear friend. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and pray and ask him to save you. Follow me in prayer. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase. Holy Father God, I pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I have done evil in your sight. Every day of my life, I've lied many times before. I've stolen things so many times I can't even count them. I've dishonored my parents and disobeyed my parents in your sight. I have lusted after people and things with my wicked heart. For Jesus Christ's sake, please have mercy and grace upon me and forgive me of all of my sins. As I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he suffered and bled and died on the cross for my sins, was buried, and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past and turn from my evil ways and to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. And dear friend of mine, if you believed in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ tonight, that he died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose again, allow me to say congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet titled What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Dear friend, if you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, please email me at dw3@gospellightsociety.com or any one of our email addresses or contact information and let us know. We have some free material that we want to send you. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. Until next time, my beloved, God loves you. Jesus Christ loves you. We love you. And may God bless you real good, is my prayer.
I don't know why Jesus loved me.